Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by Coronation, hosted on jitterymonkey.com. And this is episode number 25, so we are officially one quarter of the way to the century mark. And we might even get there in the next 2 years. Who knows? Based on simple mathematics. This is the 26th week of the show, 25th episode. We've only missed one episode. I think that's pretty good. I am Greg Mahochko, one half of your broadcast team, broadcast duo, joined as always by my good friend, longtime Husker fan as well, and good friend, fellow Husker fan, longtime broadcast buddy. That's what it was. And his name is Brian Toll. Hello, Brian.
It's my fault we missed the week, so blame me, people.
No, it's not your fault.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not blaming anybody, man.
Everybody will blame me because, you know, all the seven people that listen to this.
Actually, our numbers can be quite good.
Okay, 13 is good.
Let's not sell ourselves short, sir. We had one episode just a couple weeks before signing day that got to 2,000. And that's not a joke. So, that was episode, I don't want to say like 19 or 20, 18, 19, 20, something like that.
You know, it's really, you know what you have in Central Illinois, St. Louis, that is better than Texas?
Do tell.
Pizza.
I mean, okay, I'll ask, because what change are you talking about?
Okay, we have Papa John's.
Yeah, we got it.
Domino's.
Got it.
There's this local place called Mr. Jim's that's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Don't have that, obviously.
The first time I had it, I thought the crust was equivalent to an IKEA dresser. So, maybe a little chewier. Pizza Patron, meh. You know. I mean, we do barbecue here, and you do barbecue there, and we do chicken fried steak, and the whole Tex-Mex thing, and
You mentioned chicken fried steak, and I want to ask you, as a longtime, can we officially say that Texas is part of the South?
Depends on what day part of the day is. Honest goodness, some people will say, "Oh yeah, Texas is part of the South," and they're like, "No, it stops at Louisiana. Louisiana's in the South. We're not in the South, past the sweet tea."
Well, this is a question for anybody. Then, there's chicken fried steak. And there's chicken fried chicken. I had this conversation with a buddy of mine, Jared, if you're listening, shout out. But he says, isn't that a little redundant to call it chicken fried chicken? It's just fried chicken. I said, yeah, but it's not, because if you go to a restaurant and order fried chicken, you're going to get a plate and you're going to have what traditionally looks like, you know, a breast, wing, leg, thigh, things like that. You got to say chicken fried chicken to get the smash to hell piece of chicken that's been, you know, like double or possibly even triple coated in the batter. Am I right? Am I wrong? But do you think it's redundant to call it chicken fried chicken?
I mean, think about it. You don't call it a chicken fried pork loin, you know.
But is it prepared the same way as a like a chicken fried steak? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like it's, you know, the only difference is the pork loin smashed all the bits, and then it's big old big thing, and then it's bread like chicken fried steak. And you know what I mean? So, think it like that. But chicken fried steak is, there isn't a sex of Texan dish, quote unquote. It's a variation of wiener schnitzel.
You can't call it wiener schnitzel. Wiener schnitzel.
Wiener schnitzel, whatever.
But horrible.
You know what I'm saying? Because all the Germans came to Texas and the veal wasn't grand. So, it's just modern adaptation. So, Although I've lived here a decade, and I will never, ever really be fond of the whole white pepper gravy thing. I can eat it every once in a great while. I'm not saying I can't eat it, but
I like it. But like, I've got a, you know, like, well, time and place.
Like, you go to like Chicken Express or hell, even Dairy Queen down here, and you get like chicken fingers or chicken strips or steak tips or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you just a bucket of the white stuff.
Yeah, the Dairy Queens up here do the same when you get the chicken tender basket. So
I'm like, do we really need that?
Yes, you do, apparently.
No, you really don't. Your dog's telling me no, you really don't.
Can you hear that in the back?
Oh, my God.
The she found her damn squeak toy, apparently.
She's not only doing a dance, they're singing for you. Man, it's become a...
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
I'm half tempted to go and grab that and put it up for the next half hour. So
it adds ambiance.
All right, ambiance. We're going to keep with the ambiance. So we'll try to power through it.
So something they do have better in St. Louis than they do Dallas.
Baseball teams.
Fuck yourself. I would say Ted Drews, you jerk.
Yeah, Ted Drews is world famous. Very good. Seriously, if you are in the St. Louis area and you've never been to Ted Drews, like if you're passing through, you know, on a road trip or something, do yourself a favor and scout one out. There are only one or two locations. My recommendation is on Chippewa, but we've talked about Ted Drews before, so.
Although everybody says, oh, we have Bluebell, and I'm like, what Listeria flavored beverage are they releasing today? So I always find the ironic thing in the world. So, you know, the first time they announced that Bluebell had Listeria, you know, they dumped all the stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they destroyed all the stuff, that these four guys were like in Brennan, which is, you know, Central Texas, and that, you know, that's where the factory is, and they're all throwing this stuff in the dumpster, right? You know, throwing the dumpster down the dumpster. Well,
yeah, I remember.
had like a bunch of ice cream bars in there, and one guy just stopped, opened up the thing of ice cream bars, and started eating it. Now remember, they're throwing it away because it has Listeria. It could be, you know, bad for you, cause you sickness, maybe even death. And this guy just stops and says, "No, screw it. It's good enough.
It's free ice cream, man." So if you're up in the northwest part of the United States, And if you can look, if you can find it in other, I don't know how far out they actually do like distribution, but Tillamook dairy products like ice cream, Tillamook ice cream is really good. Up in from Tillamook, Oregon, you can actually go take a tour of their facility and get, you know, like some free cheese curd samples, and then they have a little ice cream store right there. It's a good time. It's a good time. We're fat.
I forgot the mute button was on again.
Damn it, Brian.
Speaking of good times, so let's go into Nebraska sports this week. So, you know, we didn't know really what we were talking about, but I'm kind of figuring out. So Nebraska has a pretty good road win this week. Nebraska basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good road win.
Yeah, on Ohio Sunday, State.
Which, and I kind of want to talk about it in an aspect as of, you know, Nebraska is a Glenn Watson slip from possibly sweeping Ohio State this year.
Yeah, you know,
he doesn't slip with 3 seconds to go on an inbounds.
That gives you it doesn't put all of the, you know, pressure on Ty to try to do something at the last second.
And like I said, who knows if Ohio State wins that game, but. Still, you'd like to know what happened if Glenn doesn't slip.
Yeah, okay? you have better odds with two playmakers in play.
Yeah, so and let's say Glenn Watson probably had his best game of the year, and maybe his Nebraska career last week. I think personally Sunday, because he had four fouls with 11 minutes to go, 12 minutes to go, and he played as well as he did. Not really scared, not really hesitant. With four fouls. Just about, you know, and I don't want to say he was the only thing Nebraska going. Jack McVay actually had a decent game. Jack McVay hits a three. That if he doesn't hit the three, there's no comeback. You know,
we've seen a lot of those moments, whether they lead to victories or not. I remember Jacobson three, although for the life of me now, maybe it was that first Ohio State game. Which one was that?
That was the one that was just the game that just happened.
No, this was a couple
Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's what it was. Thank you. That goes to OT. But yeah, so they're in the games late for the most part, which is encouraging, I think. Mute button, Brian.
Yeah, I thought you were continuing. I'm sorry. It's just my bad. But then, so we've got momentum. We've won two in a row, okay? And then this article, and I said I wasn't going to talk about it before show, but, you know, I'm like, you know what? Let's do it.
Yeah.
Lee Barknecht, the Omaha World Herald, comes out and basically, and before the premise of the article comes out, let's get this. Nobody was saying, you know, after those two wins, nobody's saying fire Tim Miles. Okay. Nobody's physically saying, well, he needs to go. I think people are saying, okay, giving him the 6 year, realizing what they had, you know, after the win against Maryland, after the win against
Ohio State,
you know, the win against, you know, a couple other teams, the Purdue win, you know. And yeah, Incarnate Word sucks, and a couple of the losses suck. You know, the Rutgers loss sucks. But, you know, nobody's saying fire Tim. You know. But then this article comes out. Lee says you need to give, you know, basically it was a shallow – it was an article that, number one, could have waited until the end of the year. Number two, you know, you want to give Tim – don't you dare fire Tim Miles. Okay, whatever. Number three, Mark Boehm, who's the associate AD of basketball operations, and Sean Eichhorst, the AD, sucks. And they suck and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, number one, again, timing of the piece. We could have waited until the end of the year. Number two, the whole point of the piece is Tim Miles was extended by Sean Eichhorst last year, and I guess it's a big recruiting thing. Not that big a rooting recruiting thing because Nebraska currently has 10 rivals, 150 guys in the house. Mm-hmm. And that's with really not having anybody from Omaha. Not to say there's anybody from Omaha to really have. I mean, they have the Arab kid and the Ed Chang kid maybe. But, you know, Nebraska's recruiting hasn't been this bad in a while. But, you know, then all of a sudden Mark Boehm shouldn't be there anymore. And you can make the argument that Mark Boehm shouldn't have been there because he had Barry Collier, because Doc Sadler, you know, not just Tim Miles. You know, Mark Boehm and Tom Osborne are the reason that that arena exists, Pennsylvania Arena exists. Mark Boehm has done a great job in keeping that arena full. Okay. So if you want to bag Boehm for his whole line of work, I'll listen to it and I won't disagree with it. But if you want to bag Mark Boehm because, you know, Pinnacle Bank is full every week, then I'm not going to listen to you because, you know, a team that's 10th in the Big Ten has finished higher than 10th once in Tim Miles' tenure at Nebraska is still selling out. I'm not going to listen to you on that.
Going back to what you said, the
crack of Sean Eichhorst, you know, do you trust Sean Harkins to make this hire? He hired Amy Williams. Amy Williams got a raw deal taken over for Connie Yoder when she had to, mm-hmm. Number one. Number two, that's a really brutal team that just has no coherency yet. And I get Jeff Shepard's there, but maybe they don't need Jeff Shepard. Maybe they need somebody else. It's incomplete on Mike Riley. I'll give you that because first year was kind of rock. Second year was kind of par. You know, what's he doing third year? You know, and trying to plant the seed that Sean Eichhorst can't make a hire for basketball. Well, let me tell you, ask you this. If I remember right, Jim Laranga, who was hired by Sean Eichhorst and Donald Shalala at Miami, is doing pretty damn well for Miami basketball in a situation that's less than ideal than what Nebraska has. Okay, they don't have a brand new arena that sits in downtown Miami. They don't have, you know, like last I checked, they don't have this big, shiny new practice facility that everybody in the NBA comes looks for. And then he mentions Nebraska's budget is one of the lowest ones in Big Ten. Well, you have a coach that's making $2 million a year who makes he's just as close to the football coach that has been around for a while. If you're advocating spending money, okay, I like to see how. You know, should you spend more on recruiting? You're doing pretty good recruiting. Should you spend more on your head coach? Your head coach is under 500. This whole time he's been in Lincoln, he's 20 games under 500 in Big Ten play. Should you pay more rent to the city of Lincoln? I don't know. That's up to you in the city of Lincoln. Should you get a new scoreboard? Should you get better seats? What should you spend money on? Well, their spending's low. Spend more money. Okay. This is the same guy who blew up because Tyronn Lue doesn't have a didn't have a banner
jersey in the rafters
at the beginning of the year. Yeah. Never mind that it's been going on a lot longer since Sean Eichhorst was there. But all of a sudden, Mark Mohammed and Sean Eichhorst are jerks because they're not there. Well, now they're there. And ever since we put Tyronn Lue's banner in the rafters, we haven't really kind of, you know, I thought they were going to lead to all five-star recruits and Nebraska would be a Final Four team once that banner went in the air. So,
yeah.
My point's this. You can ask a question, but let me say this. You know, coming out of there Thursday night, we were recording Friday, Thursday night, last night, to say they shit the bed in East Lansing is an insult to shitting a bed. Okay. I mean, they just didn't look good last night. Ty was okay. Wasn't great first half. Second half, he's better. Nebraska was better second half. First half, they looked absolutely god-awful. Oh, they're young. Okay, well, Michigan State made a really big run with four freshmen on the damn court. Okay, so they're just as young as Nebraska, if not young. Youth is not an excuse to me because guess what? Everybody's young. Everybody gets young. You have two types of freshmen that play college basketball, the ones that are is not bothering to go to class because they're not going to be there next year, or the ones that are really good but they need more than just 1 year. Okay. Nebraska has a lot of youth that are going to stay there more than 1 year, at least I think. Michigan State might have some one and dones. I don't know. I don't spend that much time on it, but I know that in two games they've kicked the shit out of us. Okay. So, you know, I really fret against an Illinois team. You know, we got a shit toss by the sixth best team in the Big Ten. Illinois is a bubble NCAA team. If they lose Sunday at Lincoln, John Gross probably gets shown the bricks. Okay, because they aren't making the NCAA tournament. You know, at what point do you just kind of shut up and let things go? Or maybe understand, you know, have a sense of timing in your purpose. So I'll shut up and let you talk now for a minute. But my point is, I guess my point more than anything is, we get your axe to grind. Lee, and I'm not saying that Lee's a bad writer. Lee's actually a really good writer. But to me, that piece screamed laziness. That screamed like somebody, he had to write it for somebody. An editor, maybe Tim Miles, who knows? The situation didn't call for it. And because of that, all of a sudden you have kids who are feeling pretty good. All of a sudden they read that piece and, you know, man, are we playing for our coach's job? You know? All of a sudden sphincters get real tight and, you know, shots don't fall and everybody tries a little too hard. And maybe you get my drift. I don't know.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. Couple remarks to points that you made. I don't see Illinois as a bubble team. They're only 16-12 overall, 6-9 in the conference, same as Nebraska. They're a 40% team in conference. They're 2-5 on the road, and 4-6 in their last 10, winning the last a little two game streak. They're not a good team. Illinois fans are not pleased with them. And being here in Illinois, I hear them. I'm friends with them on Facebook, and I talk to some of them on Twitter, or at least follow them on Twitter. I work with a couple who get in there, and they're bitching. They're as unhappy with Illinois as some people are with Nebraska. Differences, which we talked about last week, the culture. Illinois is very much a basketball state, whereas Nebraska is, of course, a football state. We talked about that last week. So I wouldn't consider Illinois a bubble team, NIT maybe. But that is still in the air, and I would love for nothing more than for Nebraska to beat them this weekend. Point number two, I'm trying to think of all the count points that all the things you mentioned that I had little mental checks. I want to talk. Yeah, the timing of it was. I don't see how. And even though this particular article seemed to be in support of Miles, anytime you write something where you take a side like that, you're always going to bring out the opposite viewpoint in comments or, maybe another article, column, something like that. And I just don't think that in the season, couple weeks left in the regular season and tournament time, Big Ten tournament time coming up, I don't think that's the best time to. You want to have that conversation, great. But in the last weeks of the regular season, I just don't think it's the time to have that article, have that conversation, have that discussion and potential argument. And the third point did come to me, as you mentioned, freshmen, the youth, things like that. Hey, listen, this is Big Ten basketball, and we're at the end of February, and I don't think you can use the, quote-unquote, young and inexperienced excuse anymore. I mean, they've been playing, I'm looking at it right now. They've got 27 regular season games under their belt, not including an ass-whooping against Chatterton State. They might be scholarly, freshmen, sophomores, but hey, you've been playing, big boy basketball for 15 games now, and you've had some very impressive wins, and you've had some close losses, and you've had some absolute beatdowns. But I don't. The one thing that I could see where maybe they're just, maybe they're just getting tired. That'd be the only thing. You get some of these younger guys who aren't used to playing, this type of schedule. As far as, when you're in high school, you might have to go 1.5-2 hours, unless you're on the western part of Nebraska, then you're going 3.5-4 hours, for a matchup. But most of these guys, they are back home that night and back at school the next day, and it's a one-day trip. I mean, there's a lot of travel involved. There's some adjustments that need to be made to that type of schedule. But I just don't think that, at the last days of February, you can use the excuse of being young and inexperienced. Because right now, as I said, you've got 27 regular season games under your belt, and that one doesn't fly with me. Sorry. I'm done.
And I don't want to say that, we don't support Tim. Yeah, Tim deserves another year.
If he goes
0 in the last four, then maybe we talk. Maybe
I'm a big fan of Tim Miles. I like the guy. I like the coach. This is just me. The views and opinions of Greg Mahochko are solely of Greg Mahochko and do not reflect Coronation or Jittery Monkey or any of that horse shit. But
Jittery Monkey Podcast.
That's
Network.
Right.
Yeah.
JitteryMonkey.com. I sincerely like Tim. And as I mentioned, we had the holiday episode. I want Tim to be that guy that gets Nebraska their first tournament win. With all my heart, I do. That was my Christmas wish, you know, for Nebraska athletics. And I could have gone, you know, like, yeah, football national championship or return of the pipeline or another national championship for women's bowling, you know. But I went with Tim Ott because I have strong faith in the guy. I think he's a good teacher. I think he's a good person for, you know, these young players to look up to as a role model and a coach. I don't have him on a hot seat. I mean, he's not in the doghouse. He's the man, in my opinion.
Yep. Good thing with Greg, everybody.
What?
The thing with Tim is this. He was a mid-major coach coming in. Okay. He kind of treated the job as a mid-major job, thinking that he could just get away with what he had. You know, it's Colorado State. I could get the same guy at Colorado State and do the same thing at Colorado State. And I think the second year kind of fooled him because, you know, he found a perfect storm with the Pettaway, Pitchford, Shields angle. Okay. And I think the last couple years he's changed for good, you know. The recruiting thing, he's, you know, less dependent on – try to be less dependent on transfers. You know, I'm not saying we didn't get any, but less dependent on those guys making your team, more dependent on good, solid recruiting. He's at Chicago well. Omaha, he's probably not going to hit well. He's probably not going to hit Omaha well for a while over the A-Rob thing. You know.
And it's also it's Omaha, and there's – kind of a traditionally successful school in Omaha that, you know, I think we you know, we don't like them, but yeah, we have to at least acknowledge them.
There's a big difference, though, because Creighton plays the AAU game. Okay. Creighton does not mind if a kid's an AAU kid. Nebraska has not done that traditionally, did not do that while Tom Osborne was the AD because he didn't want to play that gig. Okay. And honestly, Tim's not gone that route yet, okay? And he's done well enough getting talent in to not need it lately, okay? But there is a benefit with AAU kids. Now, granted, it's not the most ethical group, you know, that's the best way I could say it.
I'm not saying
they're bad, you know, not by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not saying they're bad. What I'm saying is there is some shade around some people, okay? And if you know, it's college athletics. Sometimes people like to play, as they say, dirty, you know, and Nebraska is clean. And I'll tell you this, football wise. Basketball wise, Nebraska is really a clean school. A lot of people have told me Nebraska doesn't play that game. It has hurt Nebraska recruiting wise, football wise, especially certain football wise.
Because we don't have Bagmen like the SEC.
Because there's no Bagmen in Lincoln. You know?
Us carrying the banner with the Cobcast boys.
And I'll tell you that. There are some people that wish Nebraska had a Bagman.
Yeah, yeah. I know they're out there.
Now,
it would level. It's like if you go back to Major League Baseball during the, you know, like the steroid era, I think, whatever you want to call it. If everybody was doing it, it levels the playing field. You know,
true.
And so, yeah. If Nebraska was, you know, offering or had those things, then yeah, it would make for a better program. But is that really the type of program that you, or make for perhaps more winning program? But is that the kind of program that you want? You know?
Let me tell you, nobody complained and bitched and moaned when Ole Miss went to a Sugar Bowl or two. Nobody bitched and moaned when, like, guys like MGK and a couple of those guys showed up. Okay, nobody said a word. All of a sudden now, since they've been kind of caught, everybody has an issue with it.
Yeah.
Okay, nobody had it. And now, granted, I don't think Tim Ronalds would pull Hugh Freeze and say, I dare you to come get us, and all of a sudden say that this recruiting class was a punishment. I don't think that's going to happen. That being said,
tell me this, and if you need a minute to gather some thought, I have a few names in mind, but who are the five best players that Tim Miles has had since he's been here? Because, obviously they've never been on the same team at the same time.
Obviously. I would say
Pettaway, Shields.
Pettaway is one, Shields is two.
Is Ty Webster in your five?
I think, yeah. Ty's caught a lot of hell since he's been here. And Tim's kept on and said he's going to be better. And really, kind of, what would this team be without Ty?
I think that they would, instead of being, the record that they've got, 12-14 or whatever it is, I think that they would be a sub-10 win team.
And I know a lot of people don't want to do it, but I think you definitely got to put Andrew White on there.
I'm not dogging on the guy, but
you're asking how good a player he had.
But
he's easily top five.
But he didn't do that much last year.
He shot the ball.
He shot the ball, but
that's what he's supposed to do. That's what he's supposed to do.
But did he make the percentage that we wanted him to make? He was like a 27%, shooter, something like that. I mean,
no, must have a little bit more than that. I don't know if he's actually that high, but I don't think Pitchford's on there.
I don't have Pitchford in mine. I've got Glenn Watson Jr. in mine. I think he has that. When he's on, it you definitely tell. Nebraska as a team plays that much better when he's playing well.
There was a guard that Nebraska had for 1 year, and I can't remember his name to save my life. He transferred to Duquesne.
I'm looking it up right now.
Oh. God help me. He played 1 year, and we all thought he was going to be a stud. And he probably would have been a stud. And then he transferred, and it was just like...
Do you know what year? Everything.
I want to say 2 years ago.
I'm looking it up.
That's what happens when you get old. You can't remember anything.
This is also true. Let's see.
This is what happens when you got to remember 10 million kids' names in football and basketball through a season.
I'm looking at 2 years. It's hard to believe that it was only 2 years ago. It was the 14-15 team that had Pettaway on it, let's see. David.
This was. I think it was Pettaway's last season.
That would have been 2 years ago because Pettaway didn't play last year.
Yeah, I.
That was also Pitchford's last year. See, a guard.
Yeah.
It wasn't Terrence Smith.
Yes, it was Terrence Smith.
Okay, Terrence Smith.
Yes, Terrence Smith. Oh, he was so good. He was going to be a stud too when he left. Yeah, he went to Duquesne.
Scored 4.9 points per game in Big Ten play. Grabbing two boards.
Yeah, he was going to be so good, though.
13-point career high effort at Ohio State. So. He was a scholar athlete honor roll and a Tom Osborne citizenship team member as well.
He was going to be like an Evan Taylor, Anton Gill type of kid. And Gil started slow, and he's injured, and obviously, and Evan Taylor's kind of, but Evan Taylor's okay.
I have no
problem with Evan Taylor.
I remember Terrence Smith. Yeah, he was one that. Yeah, I mean, I think we all kind of had high hopes for him.
Remember?
I've slept since then. I had a kid since then. Maybe I haven't slept as much.
But yeah, I remembered it, and I have those excuses, and I don't use them. So
right. Well, that's the difference between you and me.
So we have Petaway, we have Shields, we have Ty.
I feel like we need a big man.
Wesley Smith, because why not?
Would you put, based on what we've seen and the ceiling we have envisioned for him, would you put Ed Morrow Jr. on your five? You know, D. Wade's
maybe,
on my five.
Maybe. You know who I might put on there? You might think I'm high as a kite. Probably think I am already high as a kite.
Nah, it's good.
Brandon Ubel.
Okay. Not a name I expected, but definitely had...
He was serviceable.
Yeah, I mean, he had the love of the people, you know? By God, if it was ancient Rome and he was a gladiator, he would have gotten the thumbs up routinely.
Let's think about this. Ubel went across seas, and he's making a lot of money.
Well, that's good. I mean, he's making a lot of scratch. He should fund the Five Heart podcast and also donate to the Big Red Cobcast Patreon.
Perfect, so, Nugan.
Yeah, how do you like me now? Shameless. One thing I want to talk about this completely off topic before we go.
Okay, Brute.
Have Oreos lost their damn mind?
No. I think I know where you're going with this. No.
I don't think you know where I'm going with this.
Okay, let's go ahead.
We have in our pantry the mega stuffed Oreos.
Ooh, okay. I kind of know where you're going, but okay.
I'm a double stuffed guy. I remember when double stuffed came out. That's my jam. I can never go back to normal stuffed. But mega stuffed is too much stuffed.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
Dude, kind of.
Okay.
But follow me why. Follow me why. Now, if I remember this right, next time you go to the grocery store, okay,
mm-hmm.
Hold a regular thing of Oreos, whether it be strawberries, cream, whatever, regular Oreos,
mm-hmm.
And hold a double stuffed Oreos next to each other. Most would think that since it's double the stuffing, the double stuffed Oreos would be heavier.
Fewer cookies.
No, they're not. Do you know why?
The stuffing is less mass than the cookie?
Correct. You know why? The stuffing in the double stuff has less mass than the stuff in the regular stuff.
Yeah.
Because?
I don't know.
Air, sir. Air. They whip it. Huh. It's like ice cream. If you ever get ice cream, like regular ice cream, the good stuff.
Sure.
The Blue Bunny, the Blue Bell, and everything. And then you get the light, airy ice cream. The difference between those two things, usually, besides like sugar content and
flavor,
sugar product,
right.
Air.
So you're saying that's why Mega Stuffed is so inhumanely wrong, because it's more air.
Yes, it's all air. Right. You're paying for air. It's like buying a bag of chips and only having a third of a bag, and you paid $3.69 for a thing of Oreos.
I'm telling you what, though, that's why Pringles are the way to go. Pringles, man, once you pop, the fun don't stop.
You know what's funny, though? Like, tortilla chips-wise,
mm-hmm.
there's a couple small town, you know, small Texas types of tortilla chips that you always buy. There's, like, these stuff called Caliendos. They're, like, $2 a bag, and they're so good.
We're big on the on-the-border tortilla chips these days.
Why am I shocked?
Ever since we went to Texas, actually.
On the border... Dallas,
yeah.
Texas product.
They have supplanted in my home, and in my opinion, they have supplanted Tostitos as the tortilla chip of the house.
You know what they have? You know what I saw for the first time this week?
Oh, I'm gonna just bite my tongue and ask what?
Jalapeno Fritos.
No, thank you. I'll pass.
Really?
Yeah, not. I like jalapenos, but man, I like them. I like them a little. You know, I'm not a big fresh jalapeno guy, but I like them the traditional, like pickled jalapenos or whatever that you could put on nachos. That's pretty much. I'll tell you what. And my Northwest Nebraska peeps, my Panhandle peeps will know what I'm talking about. Common sense. Common sense nachos.
And 30 inches of snow right now.
That's fine. But I guarantee you, Common Sense is probably open, and they're going to have nachos. And it's well worth it. So
at 9 o'clock in the morning, they're open? Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, I mean, in 30 inches of snow. But you can go there at 9 o'clock in the morning and get nachos. It's the beautiful thing about Common Sense. And that's Common Space C-E-N-T-S, Sense. Common Sense Nachos, your unofficial official sponsor of this week's podcast. By the way, go ahead.
You know where ballpark nachos were created?
In the ballpark?
Which ballpark?
I swear to God, if you say one in Texas, I'm going to reach through Skype and smack you.
Arlington Memorial Stadium.
Nobody knows where that is. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
It's not there anymore, you jerk. It's now it's a parking lot. It's a parking lot for the Sheridan, for the Texas Rangers, for what do they call it this week? Globe Life Park in Arlington.
And how many World Series championships did it see?
I'm going to come through this phone. I'm going to pluck every hair out of your chin.
Hey, and then I'm, all right. So,
and then
so
I'm
going
to take the rest out with a bag of Nair.
You know, all right. Serious moment here. Do you know what's truly funny? Emo's Pizza. I know you've heard of it. Has a new commercial out there starring David Freese and his wife, and they're sitting there at the table eating or about to enjoy Emo's Pizza. And he says, "Yeah, my contract with the Pittsburgh Pirates says that they have to, you know, fly me in some Emo's Pizza." The only reason I thought about that is, you know, because he helped get the World Series to Game 7 and was MVP that year. So,
for Greg Mahaccio, this is Brian
Ow.
Toll.
Why did you reach what? Through and smack me?
You're damn right I did.
This is by the way, if you ever get the opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, try the lemon Oreos. You'll be pleasantly surprised.
Those?
They're quite tasty. I find them crisp and refreshing.
I like the strawberry and cream Oreos. Maybe I'm weird.
You are. This has been episode 25 of the Five Heart Podcast. We'll see you again next time. For my good friend, fellow Husker fan, longtime broadcast buddy Brian Toll, I'm Greg Mahaccio, reminding you this week and every week that Five Heart is all the heart you need. Go Big Red.
Pray for Greg.
Pray for Greg, indeed.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.